I'm just going to go through the actual questions tonight. We did that last week, and it worked really well. The age group for the first two, which were high school and then down a little bit more to middle school and third through fifth grade, those, you know, the general questions are, this is where the work is right now, is what you guys are doing with the youngest of the young. Maybe you haven't even had a baby yet, and you're like, what is this mom time thing about? What does it mean? So at mom time, what we really try to focus on is how do we take what's in here and put it into practical application. And some of that means that the Holy Spirit's going to convict, and there's going to be a change in direction for you. And maybe some of the things you thought about before in Romans 12, it talks about the renewing of our mind. So, you know, when you're in the Word, your mind's getting washed. God's going to be washing that. Now, how you connect that to being a mom is that, okay, it's washed, and you know how you should live as a Christian, but, oh, wow, now you've got these kids that you're responsible for. So I, first of all, just want to commend you for being here, because it's not easy to get away, especially when you have little ones, but it also says something of your character, that you're wanting to put the Lord first and watch, just watch, because I came from a family that was not the focus, and not that they weren't believers, but just back then, there was not a whole lot of talk about your faith. And again, not that they didn't have faith, but it just wasn't, the two things weren't merged. So I really wasn't taught how to look and see and trust God and know that He's faithful. And Brett was. And so there would be times where I would be fearful in my heart about following what God said. And he would say, no, just do it. It's like he already had it figured out. Just do it, because God, he's going to do it. Just do what it says. Just do what the Bible says. Just do it. And I can't even tell you, finally, I quit asking him, like, should I or shouldn't I? Because I knew the answer was going to be, just do what the Bible says. So thus, we have mom time. So it was just kind of batted into me so much, just from me going to the Lord and nope, and Lord, and to the Brett, and to Brett, and then back to the Lord, and just back and forth. So we have three kids. They're alive, they're saved, they're walking with Jesus, it's good. And I'm just here to tell you that, wow, the Lord, it's in front of you the next 25 years, but you're just going to be blown away at how much, you know, how good God is. So I'm just going to go ahead and go with this first little question. And this section here has to do with discipline and just training up. So managing when they don't want to be left somewhere, church, room, babysitter, how to honor their experience and also be able to let them thrive with other people without parents. Okay, well, I didn't necessarily worry about honoring my child's experience because I'm just the one that's going to be frank with you, okay? I'm going to be real frank. You're the parent. If you have to go to the dentist to get a cavity filled, I'm not really worried about my child's experience of honor. I'm worried about my cavity getting filled. Now, that might sound cold and heartless and cruel, but you're doing your child a favor when, now this is, you've thought it through and you're not being excessive. You're not going out all the time. You're not, you know, partying down till 3 a.m. or whatever. That's been known to happen. And that's not a good thing. So don't do that. But if you're like going to church and you have a routine and you have an evening where it's very consistent and this is what we do on Wednesday night and we're just, you know what you got to do? You got to like just tighten your belt up and just pull up your boots and pray and just say, Lord, these people who I'm handing this child over have been prayed for. They've been sifted through. They have literally had background checks run on them. So I know they're good, okay? This child has been prayed for, has been prayed over. I have prayed about where I'm at tonight. So I'm just going to let this child go. And you're going to come back and you're going to get your child back. And you're going to find that over time, the experience itself, your baby is going to learn, oh, when mom goes away, she doesn't die. She actually comes back. I remember reading that in one of those, like, what to expect when you're the first year or something like that. And it was talking about separation anxiety. And I was mortified because Brooke was my first. And I thought, I cannot let her think that I am dead. I mean, this is the worst thing you could ever do to a child. But then thankfully, the very next paragraph said, just keep on doing it. The brain that's developing within your baby is learning what that experience is like. So I think what you're meaning by honor the experience, if you're just wanting to be considerate of how they learn and experience their cognitive abilities, just drop them off and have fun. Just drop them off. Just get a good babysitter. All these mamas in here can help you find some really good ones. And I'll tell you this too, babysitters, you think you've got them for a long time. No. As soon as they drive, forget it. So you've got about a 3-year window when it's legally okay to have a 12-year-old, and then they start getting their permit. So you've only got 3 years. So you better have 2 or 3 that are like, okay, so she's 12, I'll be able to use her. And then, oh, good thing she's got a younger sister, because she's going to get, and so you just got to go with the flow on that, because you run out of babysitters. It's crazy. Okay, how to avoid or deal with embarrassing toddler meltdowns in public. Oh, you guys, it's bringing me back so much. Let me tell you, I have had grocery carts completely full of food, and I've been in line ready to pay, and I've had the toddler do the thing. And I have had to say, excuse me, I will be back possibly tomorrow. And put that cart over, take these children, take them out to the car, and it depends on how old they are, but we're in the young category. When they're that young, they don't remember 5 minutes later. So you literally have to just figure it out. You have to either call your husband and say, okay, guess what? We're going to do a new routine. At nighttime, once a week, I'm going to the grocery store. That's an option. Or he could start going for you, we did that a few times. Sometimes it was just impossible for all 3 kids. They were either teething or sick or chicken pox or something like that. And now we have COVID and all that. So it's hard. But those meltdowns, moment of silence. It's hard. It's just so hard. It's so hard. And it's very embarrassing. But it's kids are learning, you know, they've got all this emotion inside of them, and you don't know if like one part of their muscle grew a half inch in the night, you know, like maybe they're uptight about that. Like they don't know how to communicate this stuff to you. So it is hard, but in that situation now, and again, we're talking about birth, you know, first year, 2 years right in there. So in this age group, we do go up to the preschool age. So now it's a different story if you have a 2-year-old, if you have a very verbal baby. That's a different story. Okay, so now we've got the whole cart full, and we have a 2 or 2.5-year-old. 2.5's even better, because by now they're in the routine. So you've got your cart full, and someone just has an absolute fit. They should know the cue. You should have a cue word, you know, that says, just wait till we get home. Because open for debate, right? I know you guys are worried about children's services and all this kind of stuff. You need to be Pollyanna. Okay? And I mean all the time, even at home, obviously we never want to have abuse. It is not abusive though to give your child a key phrase every time that means, wow, when I get home, I'm busted, you know? And that's really, really important, because at first they might not know what you're talking about, but over time and consistency, and that means you can't chicken out, right? You got to pull the cart over and say, okay, we're going to go home. I remember doing this, saying, Mommy loves you. I want my groceries, but I really want you to grow up to be someone's actually going to want to marry. So let's take you home, leave the grocery stuff. Managers are great about that. They see it all the time. Let's get you home, and then and talk them through it all the way home. It could be 5 minutes to the grocery store. It could be 10 or 15. I don't know where you all live. There is a loss in memory. By the time they get to the garage door, they don't know what you're talking about. So when they get to be 3 years old, they're going to really remember. 3.5, 4 years old. The whole key is to be consistent, you know. So now you choose what that consequence is going to be. For us, if they had a fit, if they had tantrums like that, our rule for spanking was 2 switches for every age that they were. So it would be one switch, I mean, for every age that child was. So if it was a 3-year-old, they would get 3 swats, and not like this. It had to sting, okay? And that hurts too. It hurts you, you know? And I know the phrase, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And the kid's like, yeah, right. But it does. You're not wanting to beat your child to death. That's not what it's about. You are taking this out of shape, wild, you know, very contorted, however, brain that's being developed. And let's just say the worst case scenario, okay? Brett says the worst case scenario for him, he knows, had his parents not really been all over him, he knows he would have wound up in jail. He was smart enough, quick enough, fast enough, and witty enough to be able to figure out how to break every rule there was. So it was really, really good that he had a strong mom and a strong dad who were there to say, nope, and it was every single time. No means no, and that includes tantrums in the grocery store. If you have you just have to discover for what's working for your family. If you have a tantrum, when you get home, this will happen. So if and when, and you fill that in, but do not change course. Do not say, oh, okay, I changed my mind. Oh, you're so cute. Oh my gosh, you made mommy laugh. Ah. Don't do that, because that will mess you up. Like for years, it'll just mess you up. But at some point, you'll probably say, you know, I think we really are going to work on maybe just having a liquid diet. That's what I think. Just water. So how do you handle the toddler tantrums with a Christ-like discipline strategy? That's getting into what we were talking about a little bit. And also, let's go with how to mold a child who is very strong-willed and bossy as well as disciplined, because that's a really good example of how to tie it in. So say you have a really bossy little one that's like, just, you know, pushy to maybe the other siblings or maybe someone else in Sunday school. Maybe they just think, gosh, I can just do whatever I want in these Sunday school classes or whatever. And the teacher comes to you and says, oh, I'm real sorry to tell you, but this happened today. Your kid, you know, gave somebody else a black eye. Let's just say. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But let's just say, because they're being bossy, okay? Well, that's not something that you want. And why? Let's talk about why. So as you're driving home from church, you're thinking, wow, so my child is overly physical, okay with just going ahead and getting their way to the point of, you know, hitting someone. What is bossiness about? Gosh, Well, the Bible does talk about selfish ambition, and the Bible talks about serving others. And Jesus gave us the example of washing the disciples' feet. So you can apply that same kind of information that you read in the Bible and say, since it's talked about in Proverbs and it's also talked about in the New Testament and Jesus models, this seems to be a priority. So it's really cool that whoever wrote that submitted that question, because it is super important to make sure we don't want to have bossy kids. So now you have to put it into the discipline category. So what's this going to actually look like for making it a rule? Okay, so in the weeks past, we've talked about what's called a happy chat, okay? So a happy chat is really crucial, and this is a perfect chance. So you've got a bossy kid, it's become a habit, you know you have to deal with it, and you haven't really had a sit down to really define what the new behavior is gonna look like, but a happy chat's the time when you can do that. So if you bake, or if there's a special kind of, you know, cookie or half a Twinkie or something like that that you think that your little guy or girl are going to enjoy, the way that we used to do it, it would be a time that was relatively peaceful, not chaotic. Just there hadn't been any meltdowns, there hadn't been any, you know, bad feelings in the day or whatever, and we would just have, you know, fed maybe a little, you know, snackaroo, maybe some popcorn or whatever, and then just say, so how's everybody doing? And it would be very specific. They would sit on the couch, and I would sit on the coffee table, and I would look at each child. I would line them up. So, you know, when you were bossy the other day, what's bossy? Bossy is, and you could describe that. You know, when you smacked whoever in the Sunday school classroom, and you got in big trouble, and you had to apologize, and let's talk about that. So, okay, now they've got your attention, you know, this is 2, 3, 4 years old. They remember stuff like that. So you could just say, hey, moving forward, if you talk this way, if you forget please and thank you, if you're a parent who wants to say, to teach your kids to say yes, ma'am, if they leave off yes, ma'am, because that can be a thing. I mean, if you know, you guys know your child the best, okay? And if you know that by teaching them to say yes, please, no, thank you, yes, ma'am, no, sir. I mean, if you teach them that and they don't do it, you are going to be able to tell, oh, wow, they're actually losing track of their awareness of who they are and how they sound to other people. That's half the thing of please and thank you, is that you're stopping, you're taking time. You know, I have a terrible habit. I think after my kids grew up, I forgot and I turned into a 2-year-old again and I started interrupting. Like I didn't get to talk for 20 years and all of a sudden, wait, I get a chance. But I have to do the same application to myself as I would with a young child. I should not think of myself first. That's the bottom line. I need to wait my turn. I can't be bossy schmoshy and run up to people and just boom, 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 you know? Yeah, because look at me. I'm big. So what about a little kid? You have an opportunity to teach them how to not do that kind of thing, you know? And like I'm saying, I mean, after my kids were grown, I had to, and still am, really trying to work that in. Like, wow, yeah, I think I can maybe, you know, meet the measure of a 2 or 3-year-old, you know? So I have to work on it too. We all do. So that's just a good reminder to not ask your kids to do anything that you wouldn't ask yourself to do, okay? And then just don't forget that you're going to have to relearn it too when they're grown, because you can teach them so well that you don't have to focus on it anymore, and then it can fall out of your brain like it did with me. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to not act like I'm 2. Okay, so for the happy chat though, what you would do is you would say, okay, so if mommy hears you talking with that kind of a tone, or if mommy hears you or sees you, you know, pushing somebody or cutting in line or trying to get your way or telling people, and you can give some examples that are ones that you have seen that child do, and say, from here on out, you're going to be sent to your room and you're going to get a spanking. Are we clear? Yes, mommy. Okay, so here we go. And it might be 35 seconds after you've had your happy chat that you'll get your opportunity to really teach them this new lesson, but stick to it. And it will probably take a few days, and then it becomes a nice new habit, a new behavior, the new norm for your family. And then when they get off again, they'll have to have discipline. But those times will come fewer and farther between. You will not have to deal with it the way you think you are in the moment having to deal with it. It will die off. But one thing that you can't do is you can't ignore it, because it will grow and it will become a terrible, terrible beast. And we don't want that. Okay, so how to deal with discipline. A 3 to 5-year-old, patients with tantrums, anxiety about sending them to public school. So I think that this parent is, what they're saying about anxiety is that they personally have anxiety about sending them to school because they can't afford private. So that's a very real thing. It's a very real thing. So if you have time to be a volunteer in schools, now's the time to do it, because that will ease your mind. It will help you to know the teacher, to know the secretary, to know who the aides are, the principal, all of that. And that, I mean, become the class mom. Do the parties, you know, whatever. There's like a party or something every month usually. Right now, because of COVID, thankfully, they are coming back. I hope they don't do a shutdown. If you've got public school and they're doing remote learning, your child's going to be in your own house. So you really have a lot of control. I mean, a lot of parents, I think, had huge eye-openers this past year because they heard everything that their kids were being taught. Thankfully, most kindergarten, first grade, I think, is what this age group is. Yeah, 3 to 5-year-old. The concerns that you might have, I have found, have confidence in your teachers, because those teachers, for these age groups, I'm telling you guys, kindergarten teachers should make $200,000 a year. I mean, they should. Casey, she did her student teaching for kindergarten, and you think, oh, no big deal, it's just 2.5. Yeah, with 26 kids, and some of those kids have not been identified in their learning disabilities yet, because they don't do it in kindergarten. So you've got 25 to 28 kids, some of them are coming in with just, you know, boogers all over their face, and you got to deal with all that, and just like, are you kidding me? I think Casey was not sick maybe 3 days out of the whole entire year. It's, I mean, are you kidding? Literally putting your life on the line to teach kindergarten. So just, I think, have confidence in those kindergarten teachers. Be direct and ask questions, you know, and say, where are you at with the transgender thing? I want to know if you are going to try to talk to my child, because I will pull my child. You have every right to pull your child if you're going to try to tell my son that he's a nothing. So that's the big thing, okay? Kindergarten, they're really, the teachers in those ages, they do not want to teach about this stuff. And so then you could come in another way and say, I just want you to know that all this language about being an ally, I am your ally to actually press hold on this. I want my child to know the language well. I want them to know math. I want them to start learning colors and recognize the ABCs and know what 2 oranges and 2 apples equal and just the basics. That's the thing that you're you've got all the power as the parent, is to go in there and really encourage those preschool teachers how much you're on their side, you know. So the anxiety piece, I think, for me anyway, the more I was involved, and I don't mean helicopter parenting, you let the teacher do their thing, but the more that I could actually just be involved and see all the kids, see the families that are connected to those kids, it just helps you have awareness, you know. I'm not even so sure that anxiety would be the appropriate thing to say in that case. I think you're actually just being a smart parent. Don't you guys think that I'm asking the front row gals here, you know, yeah, you're just being a smart parent. You're not being an overly anxious parent, but you're actually just being responsible and you're just being smart, and God's given you that, you know, so pray through that too, you know, and that what that looks like is you just say, Lord, you know, my husband and I have talked about what we're doing and this is the decision and this is how I'm feeling about it. And then talk to the Lord about that. And the Lord might actually show you, you need to go and talk to that teacher about this, this, and this. And the Lord also might say, you need to just listen to your husband and quit worrying about it and just go enjoy the art that they're going to do and stuff. So what do you do about crying every time it's time for bed or every time it's time to turn off the tablet? Discipline them for crying. I could say no tablet for a while. But what kind of discipline for bedtime crying, age 4? We try to have a nice bucket-filling bedtime routine, but it doesn't stop the crying, which can last quite a while. Well, I think, here's the problem, you guys. Whenever I see the word tablet in a 4-year-old, I have a huge check. I think that you should take away the tablet forever and let your 4-year-old be a 4-year-old and give it a couple of weeks, maybe even 3 weeks, because it takes 3 weeks. It takes 60 days, actually, for the brain to completely redo a habit. But you need minimum 3 weeks for the brain to not have that reaction of what they're going to get. So this child is used to having this technology in front of them, right? You're going to take that away. They're wanting that. There's real dopamine shoots that go off in your brain. There's a real chemical reaction that happens. And that is getting cut off. And that could very well be part of the crying. And I would just say, hey, let's just give it to you. Take away the tablet. I mean, you know, good job. Yeah, there's cute things on there and stuff like that. But they do not need a tablet. I did not have anything. You know, you can actually, in your mind, you can say, what would it be like to live on a deserted island and raise your kid that way? Because that child will be better off, I think, if you do, as opposed to the tablet. So, okay, enough said about the technology. Remove the technology. I mean, really get it out of there and just assess in 3 weeks if they're actually a little bit better. Because shockingly and actually really sadly, there's an addiction, you know, and it can be very, very, very young. The same thing can be for sugar. The same thing could be for, you know, you just fill in the blanks. There's all kinds of stuff. But I would say right away, I would say, please try that. Please try taking away the technology piece and then assess. So let's just say 3 weeks goes by and 6 weeks goes by and 8 weeks goes by and you're like, wow, this kid is still crying every single night. You know, there comes a point where you do have to say, I wonder if there's like a physiological thing that's happening, and make sure in that time period, you know, do a well baby checkup or a, you know, preschool checkup or whatever, and make sure that, you know, there's no like burst appendix or something like that, obviously. Take the temperature, things like that. You always want to go for the big things, right? And then also, health-wise, have they had enough hydration? You know, I mean, these are things you can do all the time. Start now. Doesn't have to have anything to do with the tablet. But like, have they had literally enough water? Sometimes if you haven't had enough water throughout the day, you can feel like kind of a flip out and not even know it, you know? So I'm giving you these things, right? Before we get to the, no, it's just really bad behavior. So if it is really bad behavior and it's just plain old is, then you need to have a happy chat. You need to have the conversation with your 4-year-old who is smart. Keep in mind that by now, in 4 years, they've become proficient in the English language. So they clearly understand what it is you're talking about. And not only verbal, but nonverbal. They can sense the way you're feeling. So they are very smart at age 4. So you need to sit down with them and say, tonight, we're going to go through the bedtime routine. And if you do what this is describing, you are going to have a spanking. It's not the way I want it. But you're choosing that. That is your choice. When you choose to go to sleep and it's just the way it is, you're going to have to get used to this. Then this is what's going to happen. So I hope that doesn't sound harsh, but it's just, it's going to make the child's life completely miserable if you don't really just get that nipped, and then, and your life will be a lot better too. It just will. So then it says discipline, consequences, four-year-old mostly for that. And then how do we properly implement the rod of correction? Okay, I'll talk about that. When is a good time to start timeouts and or spanking? How do I do this in a healthy, Christ-centered way? So let's take a few of those things. So first of all, let's just look in 1 John chapter 5, okay? Because we're going to take a station break and get into the word here. But I think there's direct application for you that will be encouraging. So right in the very beginning of 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at our hands, have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Keep in mind, John physically was with Jesus. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Okay, now let's just take a break. That is the actual point of why you're trying to raise your kids, right? It's so that they will come to Christ and that you can have fellowship together with your children about the Lord. It's what we do. We are in the business of trying to, you know, reach heaven. That's every single day that we live with this hope that Christ, who came and appeared and died and rose again, that we can communicate that with our kids. So we have to deal with the discipline stuff so that their heart can be open, you know. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. So I'd first write down on your list to every day be praying for the salvation of your kids. Every day ask, because what does the Bible say? The Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit that draws all men to himself. It's not going to be you. You might think you're dragging your kid to Jesus when you put him in the Sunday school room, but that's not it. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. But it's so sweetly defined here in the first chapter of John. So we write this to make our joy complete. That's verse 4. In verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. You know, in application for your kids, I would just say there's some times where you're going to see behavior that you're going to be able to say, that's just plain old dark. And you want to be able to expose that to your kids. I have found that with my kiddos, when they were younger, and even now, you know, because now it's more about just logic and we're all on the same page. Thankfully, we have that fellowship with one another. When they were little, if we like talk about the bossy topic, for instance, if there was something like that going on, it would be, you know, this is really dark. This is actually not reflecting the light of Jesus. For you to be able to have scripture at hand like this is really beneficial to you because it helps you see what the problem is. It, based on scripture, it helps you see, wow, this is just not right. If we shed light on it, you can just see that's a very dark thing and we want to stop that. In verse 6, it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So that leads us to the section of talking about discipline. So the fact of the matter is, we all sin, and your kids are going to sin, you know. So that should be a great relief to you because you don't have to worry about if they're going to sin. It's when they are going to sin. You know, there's a big difference, you know. It's a little bit, I remember playing volleyball in middle school. I was on some volleyball teams and stuff. And I loved to spike. I just thought it was the funnest thing. You just get up there and you wham, you just get that thing and nail it into the other side of the court, you know. And it was so great. So for me, as someone who loved to do that, I anticipated that ball, right? I knew it was eventually coming. It wasn't always going to go to me. It was going to maybe go to someone else and there'd be a setup or whatever. But if I got chosen to be the person who got to spike, wham! You got to look at the sin in your child that way. Like, it is a ball that's going to come right at you, and you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared because you want to nail it All right? You want to nail it. You don't want to have just a halfway kind of dealt with behavior. Because what does that do to the ball in volleyball? It goes right into the net. Nope, that's just lame, you know? You don't want that. You want to nail this. You want to be prepared and ready to go. So with the discipline questions that you have, I think you can't really start early enough. I want to tell you a story to kind of help you see what I'm talking about. Okay, when I was, before I had kids, so everyone has heard about Tad and Marna, right? They're our friends and they live in Vanuatu, except not for the past year and a half because of the pandemic. But we had kids almost like neck and neck, you know, except Marna had Joel 2.5 years before I started having kids. So I had this really nice stretch of time where I saw, wow, baby in the hospital, so sweet. Oh my goodness, 6 months old, wow, sleeping through the night, wow. They're just at each category, 10 months old. What, did you say that you spanked him at that age? He actually got a spank that young? So I do believe it was 10 or 11 months that Joel got his very first spank. Now let me tell you why. As time went on, Marna realized he was the most strong-willed child, and she was absolutely in battle every single day with Joel. And I would go over and, how you doing, Marna? Oh, good. Because every single thing was a battle, and it was a good solid 2.5 years, and then peace, right? Along comes Amy Grace, who Brooke is still best friends with to this day. Amy does live in Vanuatu. She's married to a sweet man that she met there, and they've just been best friends forever. So along comes Amy, and Amy's little firecracker personality too. Well, Marna already knows how to do it. And this is giving me a second chance of looking, oh, wow. So a girl or a boy, doesn't matter what I have, because now I'm like 6 months pregnant and I'm watching, you know, Marna start, you know, lift off with the baby, and I'm about ready to join the club, right? And so as Brooke's born and Amy's just a little bit older than Brooke, I'm able to call Marna. Marna, do you think this, do you think this is being strong-willed? Do you think this? Because she had been two rounds. That's a really good example of the older teaching the younger. She is a little bit older than me. She already had two kids, and I saw that she was an effective mom. I saw that the fruit of her labor was really, really good. So grab on to those moms who are actively engaged in disciplining their kids. Now, back to Tad and Marna. When Joel, and what does discipline look like? Everyone always thinks discipline is about taking out a spanking spoon, right? But that's not true. Discipline is also about you and where you're at in terms of your ability to withhold or properly judge correction for your child. So Joel was, I think, 12 hours old, and they were in the hospital. And I was in there with Brett, again, anticipating, you know, Brett and I had been married, I think, a year or something by then. And I was just like, wow, someday I'm going to be a parent, you know. And Joel started crying. And Marna, her sweet reaction was to, oh, get the baby out of the bassinet. And Tad said, no, no. He put his arm up to Marna. And she said, oh, what? And he said, we need to wait. We need to wait to see what he actually needs. And I remember sitting there going, wow, this is next level. Like, these people are next level. Like, they're serious about, like, they're gonna do really good with this boy, you know? And sure enough, what that ended up meaning was Tad knew enough about Marna and how sweet she is. If there was a way to take Marna and turn her into one of the sweet drinks from Dutch Bros, it would be the hit, right? She is the sweetest, most kind, loving, tender-hearted personality that I have met, you know? Like, it's just, there's not very many Marnas in the world. And Tad knew enough about his sweet, kind, lovely, beautiful wife to know that that little boy in that bassinet was about to run her over. And he stepped in as her covering and said, we're going to wait and see what this child needs. It really was huge because it helped her not to ever parent based off of emotion. Now, that's different than saying, oh, does my child need connection? Does my child need love and tenderness? Absolutely. That fellowship that we just read about Yes, we're in need of that greatly and deeply. But we shouldn't be run around by our emotions, you know? And just because they cry doesn't mean you jump and do what it is they want, you know? Because again, going back to the very beginning when we talked about honoring the experience, right? No. You assess not based off of emotion, but based off of what the need is. And that puts you to a very sweet place and a lot of freedom, you know, because your emotions are not running you around. So hopefully, I really hope that makes sense as far as that goes. So discipline and consequences, we've gone over today, the happy chat. In a minute, we're gonna actually, you know, show you what the spanking looks like, what that actually is. I'll do it. I'll have like, I'll get it set up. Don't let me not do it. Okay, so when is a good time to start timeouts and spanking? How do I do this in a healthy, Christ-centered way? We'll talk about that. How to introduce the Bible and God to a toddler? Wow, I would just say there are so many ways for you to do that. There are amazing DVDs. There's amazing, you know, right now you can get on a number of different apps to do playlists. There are so many beautiful DVDs that are just straight scripture and just beautiful artists that have made all these amazing songs. There's hymns and lullabies. Those are such sweet, amazing ways, you know, to get the word of God into your kids. Also, getting them in Sunday school, believe it or not. I mean, having that opportunity to be around other Christians and for them to be with teachers who love the Lord and are dedicated to wanting to share Christ with your kids, that's a huge, awesome way for them to be exposed to Christ too. So I would say fellowship at church and then also within your home, having music on and all of that. And then read the Bible. Go ahead and read it out loud. You know, sometimes little kids just love. There's amazing, you know, devotional stories that have nice big pictures on them and one sentence at a time. And you can just go through and turn the pages and have them look at, you know, what does Noah's Ark look like? And wow, look at all the animals that are going on there and just go through. So you could read the Bible to them that way in devotional form by buying a children's book or going to the library. There's plenty of ways to share the Lord. But I think the biggest way, and we kind of talked about this last week, the biggest lesson that you're going to teach your kids about the Lord is going to be yourself and how mommy responds. And does mommy pray? And does mommy take time and consider what does Jesus want in this situation? And does mommy put others first? And how is mommy with daddy? I mean, these are little eyes that are looking up and seeing, you know. So, okay, let's get to the spank because it's looking at us right now. So, okay, this is going to be the place where the child goes when the child gets in trouble, okay? So you have to pretend that this is like Brookie, Joey, or Casey's bedroom, which was tricky. The two girls shared a room. So if this was like Brooke's bed or if it was Casey's bed, so I would always say, go to your room. And they knew that didn't mean, oh, just go to your room. They knew it meant go to your room and sit on your bed and wait because judgment is coming. Okay? And they would do it. And the reason why we did that, I'm just telling you from the very get-go, there's a couple reasons why we did it that way. Number one, the time it took for them to walk down the hall or walk up the stairs and go to their room and sit, they were getting an opportunity to say, okay, so mom said that I shouldn't, you know, kick whoever, and I did. And so clearly I know that I'm 4 years old. It's going to not be great, but here I am. Okay, it helps them to understand why they're there. It also gives you a chance. This would be me. So if I'm downstairs and somebody does a, you know, a back to the bossy thing, then I said, go to your room. So they would be going to their room. I would go up the stairs. We had a specific closet. I would reach in. We had our spanking implement, and I would take that, and I'm not going to use my lip gloss because that's not going to be good, and I'm not going to use my phone, but just pretend that this is about this long, okay? I would literally get the implement, and I would come down to the hall, and I would sit right beside whoever was here in this place of honor. You want to talk about honor? Okay, so I would say, to, let's just say it was Casey. Casey got spanked maybe 4 times in her life because she had an older brother and sister, and she's very observant, that one. And so she learned. So I'm just going to use Casey as the example because it just didn't really happen. But I had to look hard for ways for her to just understand the concept of punishment and what that would actually, why that would even affect her life, because she had such a propensity to not break the rules because she literally learned from her kids. So, all right, so she kicked Joey in the head. Okay, let's say that. Let's just say that's what it is. Casey, do you know why you're here right now? Yes. Can you tell me why you're here? Because I kicked Joey in the head. And what's the rule about kicking Joey in the head? I'm not supposed to do that. Do we know why in the Bible we're not supposed to do that? Well, be kind one to another. Yeah. Were you kind to Joey when you kicked him in the head? No. So that is sin, and we have to deal with that because you were not kind. And you could hurt your brother, and we don't want to hurt people. So do you remember what happens when you do that? I get a spanking. Okay, let's do it. So then Casey would get up, and here I am, okay? And some people, I'm just going to head it off right now. You got to do the leg wrap, okay? People go, what do? Their legs are kicking. No, no, no. You never allow for that. You are the parent, all right? So by the time they're 4.5 or 5 years old, you say, okay, put your leg right here. Okay, so the little kid's leg is right here. You take your leg and you wrap it around, and that anchors that leg. This is huge. It sounds like it's like, what's she doing? This is huge. It keeps you safe. It keeps your child safe. I'm telling you right now, I want you to use a wooden spoon. If you do not securely get your child right here, you have risk of hurting your child, and I am not telling you to do that. So I am saying you lock your kid in so that the bum is right here and it will not move, okay? And then you take your implement that you've had right here, safely right here, okay? And there's a little bum right here. Okay, it's not a bare bum, but it's a bum, okay? And you take that, spoon and you poom, 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 poom 4 times, okay? You don't do it through the thickness of the diaper. That's dumb. All that does is create a sound effect and makes it so that your child lives off of drama. It's ridiculous, okay? You do not spare the rod, okay? You don't, because your child's not going to die. You need to have them understand what that sting is. And the reason why, okay, in Proverbs it talks about discipline your child while they are young. Discipline them while there is still hope. Discipline, but there's so many times in Proverbs where you can practically hear them screaming out, don't forget to discipline. Don't leave it out. They will not die, but you will save your child from hell. And I can't tell you how many times that I would think in my heart, wow, there's no way I would be doing this if I wasn't a Christian. The only reason why I would be doing it, and I'm thank God I did, but it was because of the motivation for them to understand when they're after the offense, right? And it is an offense, okay? After the offense, and you're having that conversation with them about why they're here, and they have clear knowledge and understanding as to what rule was broken because you had your happy chat and because there's nothing surprising about this moment. It's all there and they know it. But you're giving them those guardrails of life. You're giving them that ability to be able to stand firm and walk strong. And if you don't do it, you're actually disregarding the abilities that this child has. This child has great abilities. And you are the one who's been charged to shape this child to where it should go according to their giftings, okay? That's the heart behind the spank. So when you get here and they feel that sting, you're able to do the 4 spanks, or if they're 5 years old, do the 5 spanks. And then you set them down beside you and they should cry. It should hurt. And you will stay there and comfort them. And you will say, I love you. Now I want you to say I'm sorry to me. I want you to say you're sorry to Joey for kicking him in the head. This is so crucial, okay? The sting, you guys, it has to sting, because what did Jesus endure on the cross? He endured death. The sting of death was defeated at the cross. Spanking your child is not some sort of way of, you know, trickery or anything like that. It is making a clearly defined line that your child has crossed, and you're helping to bring them back. Really, if it's the line of sanity, they go a little insane, and you bring them back into sanity, right? Because it's in here that they need Jesus. You don't want them to get out here and be like the woman that was dwelt with, you know, all the demons. You don't want your kids to get to that place, right? You want to save them from that, bring them back in to that boundary where it's healthy and where they can know exactly where they should go. And oop, I'm kind of bumping up to that boundary. Good thing mom's holding me back in place, you know, like the seatbelt, if you would, in the car, you know? So does that make sense? I hope it does. So the reason why you need to have a slight amount of pain, it needs to be just a sting, is so that they can understand, wow, what I did actually cost pain. It may have felt good in the moment, and the Bible says that. There's pleasure in sin for a season. I'm sure, here's Joey's head, boom, boom, it felt good for a minute, right? But afterwards is remorse. Joey's head has to have stitches. She has to have a spanking. You know, the story goes on and on. It just is like, wow, there's a lot that comes with that. So now picture this little 4-year-old body as a 24-year-old or a 34-year-old or a 44-year-old and having zero control when it comes, kaboom. That's not going to make that person thrive. So I hope that that basically helps you understand why it's so important at the earliest of age for your own heart to have discipline towards your kids, but also how to properly actually do the discipline as it stands. After this time of, you know, apologizing and saying we're sorry, I would say I forgive you. Because, not because I'm a priest, but because I wanted my kids to understand you are forgiven. We forgive you. And we would pray and we would talk about this and we would say, okay, now we've dealt with this. We have dealt with this. You have confessed it and I forgive you. And you know who really forgives you? Is Jesus. Jesus does not remember your sin. You are free. We're going to walk out this door and we're going to start over and we're not going to talk about it. And we're going to learn from it, but we're not going to have this be something that we repeat and bring up ever again. We're not going to talk about it again. So that's why it ended up being that we were trying to share the gospel in the midst of the discipline, because we would come out that door together, hand in hand, and we would have our start over, and we would come out, and she would, you know, whoever would say, you know, that we're sorry and we're going to start over. And that this is an infraction that my scenario involved a sibling, so it was a little bit different. But if it was just a attitude situation, it would have been, okay, we're going to start over and we're not going to talk about it anymore. And now, obviously, because Brett and I are not the Holy Trinity, I do not know exactly what he's thinking and he doesn't know exactly what I'm thinking. I would need to talk to him about the stuff when he would get home. But you see what I'm saying. The Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they already know, right? So when you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all sin, cleanse you from unrighteousness. We have that approach with our kids. That's why we took it so seriously. So I hope that helps. Let's go to this next one. How to prioritize what matters. How to stay calm and enjoy the slow seasons and when you have multiples and a newborn and no time to do anything but survive. I hear you. Okay, so I think that comes down to, this is where it would be really, really helpful for you to know the gals in the front row, the Titus 2 ladies, and give a phone call to them and ask them to work through your day. Having multiple kids and having a newborn, you might need to have someone come and just help you for a day, just to wash clothes or whatever, or, you know, just figure it out, do some time management, and just help you know that you're not actually going insane. Because it is really hard when you have a newborn. It's like jet lag for months, you know, and I don't do well with that. I've traveled with some of you guys, and some of you know I can get insane. So I actually don't know how I survived having a 16-month-old and then having Joey, who was then in the hospital, and that was just round the clock, just no sleep for a really long time. I mean, Brett is like, wow, he gets an award because I am pretty sure I wasn't super pleasant. So I hear you when I hear this tone of like, I'm just trying to survive. I know. So sometimes too, and I'll just give you guys a little, maybe this would be my thing if you called me, I would say, hey, is there any chance that there's a bathtub in your house? Because if there is, one thing that kids love is taking baths. They love it. They love bubbles and they love all that stuff. It's kind of like a playpen, but 3 inches deep of water. So that buys you sometimes, I mean, quite a lot of time. I mean, it can be a half hour of just sheer fun and delight and nobody's, you know, getting in trouble and all that stuff. Second reason why the bathtub is great is for yourself. So think about Epsom salt and a bath. And just try to do that once in a while. It's amazing how depleted we really do get. And I know a few of us have had COVID, and you know we're all like trying to get our everything dialed back in because you can just tell. Wow, this went missing. This went missing. Out of that mineral, clearly deficient in this. Wow, this level is woo. So the same thing happens when you have your kids. I mean, you're just completely rebooting. Your whole body is just starting over. So your sleep. Your eating habits, your phone habits, phone hygiene, all that. You have to really go through and check all of that stuff in order to make having multiple kids and a newborn make you not feel like you're just trying to survive, And then, of course, being in the Word. And if you don't have time to be in the Word, I really, I'm not getting paid for this. Get the pray.com app. Just do it. Just get that app. Because you guys, Darth Vader reads the whole Bible, right? James Earl Jones. Any book of the Bible right now, you can listen to it. And it's like, he is the voice of a Shakespearean theater, right? So it's like, it's so amazing. If you don't have time to read, just push play and go through the Gospels and go through the New Testament and listen to the stories and listen to the encouragement. And then just try to weave that into your heart, like you might be doing dishes, but if you hear, wow, okay, that was good. I'm gonna rewind that for 10 seconds and listen to that again. Do that. Just get yourself in that place of really fully relying on the Lord. And it's going to be okay. Everything you're feeling is very normal. It's very, very normal. Okay, homeschool, preschool, or traditional Christian values seem to be lacking in traditional schooling. You think? So I will say this. I, at this point in my life, it's not the same. K through 12 standards, Oregon Department of Education, I would say pull your kids out. If you can pull your kids out, do it. If you can create co-ops, some of you have probably already joined the co-op here. It's currently full. There's 160 families that are going to be participating in the church co-op this fall. It's going to be great. But make your own co-ops. I would do that in a minute. I would do it because you can choose your curriculum, you can work with like-minded parents, and you can have great fellowship. Awesome opportunity for your kids to socialize by that meeting 2-3 times a week in a co-op form. So if you could homeschool, I think that would be great. I know private school is super expensive, but my hope and prayer right now is that there's a lot of people who have already had their kids go through and really see the value of private school and that there would be scholarships like left and right. My prayer is that we could see fully funded education in some of the private schools. I agree with you. Traditional school, no, it's no more. It's not what it was. How to teach your baby who Jesus is and help them to understand the truth of the Bible and not worldly views. I really think like how we're doing it right now, just going through the Word. So let's just go to verse 8 of chapter 1. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So really what this question is talking about is how do we really convey to the kids the truth? Well, we have to be honest with ourselves. It then says, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We just talked about that. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. So just applying this to this question, the point is Jesus is there for us. And I think the more you share that with your kids, just if they fall down and they get a little scrape on their knee and you're there to clean it up, you can say, look, Jesus was there for us. Your leg is great. You're doing great. Look at this. We got it all clean. Everything's good. And then as it heals up, just look how God's made our bodies. He's made our bodies to heal. It's amazing. If they break an arm, they break an arm. I've had a couple of them. They break an arm. And you could say, look how good the Lord is that we have doctors to set that. And look, we can color on it. And this is so cool. And everything's great. And I remember Casey had to have a cast and it was purple. And Barney was all the hit at that time, the show Barney, you know, the dinosaur Barney. And we called it her Barney cast. So, you know, you make lemonade out of lemons. But I think what helps you to really do that is the word. Because you come from a place that you are clean. You are okay in light of Jesus being the one who makes you okay. And that's the mindset that you can give your kids, how awesome it is to be able to walk with the Lord. Wisdom for considering international adoption and the unique parenting and family dynamics required in that situation. Wow, you know, what comes to mind right away, because what an amazing family it is that decides to adopt, but I think we have a pretty good amount of people at Athey Creek who have gone through the adoption process, and each mom that I have known who has gone through that needs a really steady Eddie dad, because it is turbulent and it is hard. And I would connect with the adoption groups and pray through your adoption process. And if it's international and there's some cultural stuff that you have to understand, finding those parents so that you can network and learn is hugely helpful. We're just so fortunate that we have access like that at Athey. But that's what I would do. I would find, you know, I know Mindy Strauss went through an adoption and it was like, wow, really emotional. And they just love their son and he's so sweet and so cute. But man, no one really tells you how it's gonna feel to visit that child and then leave. And then sometimes it can seem like governments are kind of messing with you. There's another family that adopted from a different African country, and she was like in tears. This other mama was in tears, I remember, because she was like, I don't know if we're gonna get him now. And we've already called him our son. And we have already gone and met him and we're connected. And so I understand it's a heart-wrenching experience, but actually also extremely rewarding too. So I definitely would just want to find the people at Athey who have gone through the process. Then the last question, how do I help my son understand his feelings during this time of transition in two separate households? So two separate is probably meaning from divorce. So it's hard, you know. Last week, maybe the week before that, I talked about divorce because I come from a divorced mom and dad. And, you know, there's not really a whole lot that you can say without exposing that other parent. And I think I would probably say, let's have you, first of all, I think maybe listen to 2 weeks ago, just take some time and listen to that session, because it was pretty extensive as far as what I talked about. And also, I was just so impressed when I got to be in high school age and I met Melinda, who is now Melinda Thompson, but she was Melinda Slaughter, and that's Judy Slaughter's daughter. And, you know, Melinda just was so dear and loved the Lord, but her dad was not a believer, and Judy and her ex-husband were divorced. And I had a similar situation, but not. And to watch Judy, I marveled at how much she truly respected and honored her ex-husband. My mom also did. I marveled when I got to be 18 and found out the real situation of what was happening. I was like, wow, my mom needs a medal, because she withheld a lot of information from me so that I would be able to have a relationship with my dad, because she knew it was that important to have a good relationship. So that's speaking volumes for two completely different women who went through very hard years, you know. But I think it's really important, outside of a murderer or a known drug dealer, or someone who is sex trafficking, put that in there too. You would not take that child to that home, okay? So let's just take that over here. Your child is not going to that kind of a home. You've got your basic sinner, right? You're delivering your child, son or daughter, to a sinner. And that child's gonna get delivered back to the other sinner, which is you, you know? So just start from the place of honesty with your kid and say, Mommy and Daddy are both sinners, and God loves us both. And Daddy and Mommy, when we made you, we loved you from the very beginning, and you need to know that. It's so important for the child to understand how much Mom and Dad love the child. I think that's like, take your own feelings and kick them to the curb, because the child is the one that needs to know that they're really loved by you both, you know? And even through the years, I have to tell you, my parents did a really good job of that, you know? Like, my dad would be very interested in our grades, and he'd say, I'm really proud of you kids, and things like that. It helped us to feel secure in knowing that when we got back home, my mom didn't bash and say, oh, well, he thought you could talk about the grades, and he feels like he can say he's proud of you. How dare he? My mom never did that kind of stuff. So as much as you can, because you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, because you do have the Word of God in ways that I could never imagine being able to hear for your strength, and you also have women who are voluntarily giving their time to hear your heart, to pray with you, and to come alongside you if needed. We have pastors for counseling, and we can even, you know, there's sometimes where you need help on the legal side, and we've been able to connect people in that way too. You just have so many resources that I think for you to do your best to just reflect honor and decency and respect in this situation, it's just going to be the win. It's just going to be the win for you. So with that, let's go to John, 1 John chapter 2. I just want to read a couple more verses, and then we'll close for the evening. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's the message right there. I think if you were to plaster that backwards on your forehead so that when you looked in the mirror, you could actually see that scripture, it'd be pretty cool, right? Put on some kind of powder that made it be translucent so you could actually see that. We have been made safe and whole, and our sins been washed away because of Jesus. He has atoned for us, and he's atoned for that ex-husband as well, you know? He has atoned for your child as well. And he's just that righteous and that good. And it's so good to stay in that place of having that as your identity. And it makes parenting so much easier. In verse 3, it says, We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. That's the heart behind your kids having obedience. You don't want your kids to obey so that they can be good. You want them to obey because they know Jesus. That's the connection. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Simple. You have that little happy chat. So, hey, do we want to be honest? Yes. So, do we need help in this area? Yes. Because if we don't become honest, we're lying. We're actually lying about not needing help regarding our sin. You can break it down to preschool age. It's really simple for kids to understand. If anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yes, I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother, that is a good one for siblings, is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. And we'll stop there. That would be an amazingly fun, really, really fun little time for you to teach this section of scripture with like blindfolds and have your kids walk around and try to like go to somewhere specific, like go to the coffee table and pick up the book and just have them goof around and understand how it is to feel like they cannot see, and then read that scripture to them and help them to understand. That's what the Bible says happens to us when we are not walking in in him. When we don't have love in our hearts, when we don't love one another, if you're hating your brother, if you're bitter, if you're angry, if you hate him so much you just go pew, that's dark. We don't want to walk around. You're like a blind person just bumping in. And that's a jovial, happy way to kind of get that message into your kids, you know. So look for those in scripture. This is your opportunity right now while your kids are young to be reading the scripture every day and say, how can I make this be like a fun at-home activity, you know, that we could actually do, whether it's blindfolds or, you know, water balloons or whatever. The Lord could totally give you cool ideas. So that's it for our questions for this evening. We want to remind you that the gals in the front are going to be at the back of the rooms for prayer and for any biblical counsel that you need. There's also yummy, yummy desserts. So go ahead and grab a bunch of those and take extra home. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this evening, for this time with these precious, precious ladies. And I pray, Lord, that they would stand firm on your word. I just thank you for your truth that you have always been from the beginning and you always will be, Lord, the righteous one. And we're just thankful for that. We praise you. We lift you up. We exalt you. In Jesus' name, bless these families. And we pray these things according to your word, Lord. Amen.